从子身中入正定，壮年身中从定出，壮年身中入正定，老年身中从定出，老年身中入正定，少女身中从定出，少女身中入正定，少男身中从定出，少男身中入正定，比丘尼身从定出，比丘尼身入正定，比丘身中从定出，比丘身中入正定，小无小身从定出，小无小身入正定，必知佛身从定出，必知佛身入正定，现如来身从定出，于如来身入正定，诸天身中从定出。这一段记文，这是说的彼此无碍，人我渊涌啊，所以啊，这个入定，一入一切入，一切入也是一入啊，这是啊，彼此无碍，互相的缘用啊。童子就是啊，16岁以前的，或者是童男啊，14岁以前的，这个叫童女、童子。就包括童女在内，这也就是啊说的童男童女，在童男童女身上入定了啊，这是说这个菩萨一切处都可以入定，一切时都可以入定，一切的境界都可以入定，所以在童子、童男童女身上入正定了，壮年身中从定出。那么你看他是在童男童女身上入定了，可是啊，他出定的时候是在那个壮年，壮年呢就是大人，不是啊小孩子，壮年身中入正定，在这个大已经长大成人这个壮年人的身上入正定了，这是老年身中从定出，所以这就是啊彼此无碍啊。你看他在这个壮年人的身上入定了，可是他从老年人身上又出定了啊，这是不可思议。老年身中入正定，在这个老年人的身中入正定了，少女身中从定出，又在这个少女啊，这个少女啊就不是那个童女了，就是啊做善的这个女人身中从定出，少女身中入正定啊，在这个善女身中啊入正定，这个菩萨又从善男身中从定出啊，善男身中又入正定了，又从这个比丘尼身从定出啊，也在这个比丘尼身上从定出了，比丘尼身入正定，在比丘尼身，这个菩萨在比丘尼身他入定了，可是啊在比丘身中 从定出，他又啊从定呢，从这个三昧又起来了，啊，这就是啊，啊这种呢彼此无碍这种境界。比丘身中入正定啊，在这个比丘身中啊入定了，小无小身从定出啊。什么叫小无小呢？这个小从初果到三果，这叫有小位啊，有所小，有所修啊，出果，有小，二果是有小，三果还是有小。那么到四果，这叫无小位了。四果恶罗汉呢，这才正得无小位。这时候啊，所作已办，不受后有了，所以叫无小位。这个在阿罗汉的身上入正定了，入这个三昧了，啊，小无小，这个在这个小无小的这阿罗汉呢。身上又从定出了，在新这个初果阿罗汉、二果阿罗汉、三果阿罗汉、四果阿罗汉，这个身上入正定了，必知佛身从定出，啊，必知佛是梵语，梵语呢叫圆角。有佛出世的时候啊，就叫圆角；在无佛出世的时候呢，就叫独角。这个圆角他修十二因缘而悟道，这是有佛出世；要无佛出世呢，他到这个深山穷谷的里边去，没有人呢到的地方，他自己在那儿修行，春看百花开，秋观黄叶落，他觉得这生生灭灭都是无常的，他又观这个十二因缘，所以啊他自己就悟道，这叫独角，这是必知佛。必知佛身入正，从定出，从定又出来了。必知佛身入正定，在这个圆角和独角的身入正定了，现如来身从定处，就现出啊这个佛身，现出佛身呢从定出来啊，这是菩萨这种啊彼此无碍互相圆融的境界啊，依报无碍，人我无碍啊，一正无碍啊，与如来身入正定，在这个佛身呢入正定了，诸天身中从定出，又出定的时候啊，在这个诸天的身中从定又出来了，所以啊这种境界不是一般这个天上的人和人间的凡夫啊所能明白的。
什么问题没有？有没有？没有。那个，我有什么问题呢？我这个问题呀，是一个不重要的问题，但是我要说出来呢，就是特别重要。我没有说是不重要，说出来就是重要。这是什么意思呢？你们各位都知道，俺们早晨呢做早功课， 晚间呢做完功课来讲经。有的人呢就觉得做功课是不重要，所以我说我这个重题呀、问题也是不重要的问题，说出来怎么又重要呢？啊，这个做功课呀和这个听讲经是同样的重要，不是单单听讲经不做功课，也不是单单做功课不听讲经，讲经和做功课同样的重要。如果你能把这个早晚功课都背得出了，你自己呀随时随地都可以做早晚功课，那可以的。如果你不能背得出，你必须要来做功课，做功课一定要郑重其事的。你得天天做功课，自然而然呢这早晚功课就都能熟了，能可以背得出了。背得出，你无论到任何的地方都应该做早晚功课，人多要做早晚的功课，人少也要做早晚的功课。因为你修行，修行什么呢？说我修心，你修心，你管住你的心了吗？你那个心真能如如不动、了了长明了吗？你心要是常常能入定，能童子身中入正定，壮年身中从定出，壮年身中入正定，老年身中从定出，你要能以这样子那可以的，你也不需要听经，也不需要做功课了那么出家人应该做功课，做居士的呢也应该做功课，不应该呀把这个时间都空过了或者贪睡眠，或者贪着吃好东西，或者贪穿好衣服你这回把这种的贪心呢都改过来，他改过要贪着做功课，贪着听经听经要有个贪心这一句听明白了又想听那一句以听明白了为止。所以这必须要天天来做功课这就是修道。不要像那一些个什么也不懂的人，佛教一点什么都不明白呢，他说做早晚功课这又有什么用呢？这只不过唱唱歌，尤其中国这一套敲打唱念，这是佛教的戏子嘛参参打坐才是佛教的弟子呢，才是佛的弟子呢他把这个赞佛呀拜佛呀这都给说是没有用的，这简直在愚痴到极点，这样人你早晚功课不做做什么呢睡觉睡觉比做早晚功课重要你们看一看俺们这位这个现在回来了，昨天晚上我看见他楞严咒大家都不会念了要拿着个本子在那地方跟着人家这是很可怜的。咱们无论
一个人也要做早晚功课，人多也要做早晚功课。这个是啊，早晚功课这非常重要的。除非你要是做工的人啊，说我要是早起起得太早啊，回得晚，晚上睡得太晚呢、啊，就没有精神，不能做工，这样是可以的，这可以啊，方便一下。如果不是这样呢，在做无论出家人在家人都应该做早晚功课的。对，我说这个问题也是重要也是不重要，看你怎么样讲啊。你愚痴的人就认为它不重要，有智慧的人就认为它也是重要的。因为你愚痴的人你不知道它重要，有智慧的人明了它是重要。
问了没到。There was a bird flying through the sky one day, and all of a sudden, an eagle swooped down and caught the bird by a feather, and caught the bird and said, "I'm going to eat you. I'm going to take you home, and I'm going to put you in a pot of boiling oil, and I'm going to fry you like a wonton." So he was dragging the little bird home, and he passed by a stream.And the bird could sort of swim, the little bird. He was sort of part seagull and part duck, so he could sort of swim. And the eagle thought, well, since I've taken some feathers out of his wing, he can't fly, so he can't waddle too far either. So I'll just leave him here by the bank and I'll take a little bird bath.And get a drink. So he set the bird down, and the bird was starting to play dead because he thought, well, we're going to be flying through the air, and if I play dead and I get all stiff, then the eagle's not going to want to eat me because I'm going to be a stiff wonton. He won't like a stiff wonton. So there was a temple a little ways down the stream, and the little bird didn't know about it, but he jumped into the water and he startedswimming as fast as his little legs could carry him. And when the eagle got done taking a drink, he walked back to where the bird was, and he saw the bird floating out the middle of the stream, going down pretty fast because the current was fast. And he decided, well, I'm going to swoop down and I'm going to grab the bird. But the eagle couldn't swim. He couldn't float because his feathers were oil. So he got real high in the sky as if there was a little mouse on the ground, and he swooped.A one big giant swoop, and he tried to get the little birdie, and he went 3 feet under the water, but the birdie was still right here, and here was the eagle who had just gone underwater and his feathers got all wet, so he just did his best he could and got to shore. And the little bird started going along pretty fastAnd the temple had a water wheel in it. And he got going really fast, and he shut his eyes and he started spinning around in a little whirlpool, and then he'd keep going, but he was going pretty fast and he couldn't see where he was going because he had his eyes shut. And all of a sudden he felt himself going higher for some reason. He thought, oh, that eagle's got me with some funny contraption.It lifts me up and I don't even know that I've gotten trapped. So he opened his eyes and there he was going up a water wheel. And when he went up the water wheel, he jumped off onto a little piece of wood and walked into the temple. And he waddled around in the temple and by accident, he got up on top of a bowing stool. And he tripped and he stumbled and he started sliding down the bowing stool.And all of a sudden, a monk picked him up and said to the little bird, what are you doing in here? And why are you trying to get on this bowing stool? You want to bow to the Buddhas or something? And the bird said, well, I didn't know what this was, and an eagle was trying to eat me. And the monk said, well, where's the eagle? We'll go and give him a little lecture. And so they went to the...where the eagle was, and his feathers hadn't quite dried yet, so he couldn't fly away. And the monk caught a hold of him and said to the eagle, "Why were you trying to eat the little birdie?" "Because the birdie is just like you. He can fly." And the eagle said, "Well, I can't swim, so we aren't exactly alike." And the little bird said, "But I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die." And the monk said, "See there? I bet you don't want to die either, eagle." And the eagle said, "No, I don't want to die, but I have to live off of something." And so the monk told him, well, that the monk didn't eat meat. He told him that, and that the Buddha didn't eat meat, and the eagle didn't know what the Buddha was. So the monk took him into the temple and showed him the Buddha, and the eagle stayed there for a while and listened to some sutra lectures. And after a little while, he got enough nerve up so that he could bow to the Buddhas. And the little duck would sit beside him, and he'd try to bow to the Buddhas too. But all the best he could do was he could stick his nose on the bowing cushion. And so the eagle finally started bowing to the Buddhas. And after a little while, he became a disciple, and he decided not to eat meat. And then he flew away and landed in some trees, and he stayed there for a long, long time. He recited what the monk had taught him. He recited Namo Amitabha, and he kept reciting that and reciting that in the top of his tree, and the duck was in the water reciting that all day long. He would just sit and recite the Buddha's name. And when they die, they didn't go to the hells, which they should have done, because they had created a whole lot of bad karma in their life. Like the eagle had killed a lot of animals, and the duck had eaten a lot of fish. But instead of going to the hells, they were reborn as people. And they cultivated the way, and they became the Arhats. And that's the end of the story.
Come on. 诸天身中入正定，大龙身中从定出，大龙身中入正定，夜叉身中从定出。 这个前边所讲的是根尘无碍，互相缘由，入这个三昧的正定，依报也无碍。 正报也无碍，这个一正二报也是互相无碍，互相缘由，所以才说在诸天身中入正定，在一切的天人。 这个一般人呢所说这个天，就以为呀说是天主。其实这个天上的天人很多，啊，也有很多这个天主，每一个天有一个天主，每个天主带着很多的天人，所以呀。 在诸天身中入正定，这一切诸天，啊，身中入正定，大龙身中从定出，又在这个龙王海。 海龙王身上出定。这是啊，神龙无碍，互相圆融。大龙身中入正定，在这个龙王的身上入正定，又在夜叉身中啊从定出，这是啊，这个龙和夜叉也是互相无碍，互相圆融，所以这种境界啊，是一种微妙不可思议的境界。夜叉身中入正定，鬼神身中从定出，鬼神身中入正定，一毛孔中从定出，一毛孔中入正定，一切毛孔从定出，一切毛孔入正定，一毛端头从定出，一毛端头入正定，一微尘中从定出，一微尘中入正定，一切尘中从定出，一切尘中入正定，金刚地中从定出，金刚地中入正定，摩尼树上从定出。夜叉，夜叉有地形夜叉，有空形夜叉，有天上的夜叉。夜叉翻译过来啊，就叫素鸡鬼。这素鸡啊，就是啊，非常之快。这种鬼啊，它也有神通。那么，从这个夜叉身中从定出，那么在这个夜叉身中入正定，在这个夜叉身上也可以出定，也可以入定。鬼神身中从定出，又在一切的鬼神呢的身上从定啊而出。鬼神身中入正定，一切的鬼呀，一切的神，在他们这个身上入正定。一毛孔中从定出，那么又可以呀，在每一个毛孔里边出定。一毛孔中入正定，那么在一个毛孔可以出定，当然就可以入定了。在这一毛孔中入正定，一切毛孔从定出，又可以啊，在所有的一切毛孔从定出。一毛孔与一切毛孔入正定，在这一切的毛孔又可以啊入正定，入这三昧。一毛端头从定处，在一个毫毛的那个梢上又啊出定了。所谓啊，于一毛端现宝王刹，作微尘里转大法轮。那么在这一毛端头入正定，入这个三昧正定，一微尘中从定出，在这个一粒微尘里边又出定，这是啊，就啊，一报正报互相无碍，一正二报啊，无碍，也互相圆融。这个一切毛端呢，这是正报， 以为尘中，这就是以报。一微尘中入正定，在这一个微尘里头又可以啊转大法轮，入正定教化众生。一切尘中从定处，在这一切的微尘里边出定。一切尘中入正定，在所有的这个微尘里边入正定。金刚地中从定处，在这个金刚地啊里边呢又从定出，金刚地中入正定，在这个金刚地啊又入正定了。摩尼树上从定出，在这个摩尼宝树上啊又出定了。这都是啊依报依正无碍互相圆拥的一种境界。摩尼树上入正定，佛光明中从定出，佛光明中入正定，于河海中从定出，河海中于河海中入正定，于火大中从定出，于火大中入正定，于风起定心不乱，于风大中入正定，于地大中从定处，于地大中入正定，于天宫殿从定出，于天宫殿入正定，于空起定心不乱，是名无量功德者三昧自在难思议，十方一切诸如来于无量劫说不尽，一切如来显供说众生业报难思议。在这个摩尼树、摩尼宝树上又入正定，佛光明中从定出，又啊在这佛光明里边出定。佛光明中入正定，在这佛所放的光明里边又入正定啊，于河海中从定出，在这一切的江啊河呀、啊、湖啊海呀、啊，这一于河海中入正定，也入正定了。于火大中从定出，这个四大就水火地水火风，那么这四大呀合合就成一个人，四大分成这个人就死了。所以啊现在是四大分开了，于火大中从定出，在这个河海上边入了正定了，入了三昧了。在火大呀这个里边又出定了，在火里出定了，于火中于火大中入正定，在这火大里边呢又入定了，于风大于风起定心不乱，在这个风里边又出定了。起定也就出定，出定还是啊如如不动的。于风大中入正定，
在这个风大里边呢，入正定，与地大中从定处，在这个地大上就出定，与地大中入正定，啊，与天宫殿从定处，在这个天的宫殿里又出定了，所以这都是一正无碍互相圆融这种的境界。于天宫中入正定，于啊，在这个天宫啊又入定了，于空起定心不乱，在这空里面又出定了，是名无量功德者。这都是啊，这个就是因为做无量功德而成就这种种的三昧。三昧自在难思议，这个三昧都自在无碍，啊，不可思议这种境界。十方一切诸如来，十方三世一切诸佛，啊，于无量劫说不尽，在这个无量劫这么长的时间呢，说这个法也说不能尽。一切如来显供说，所有十方三世一切诸佛呀都供说此法，啊，众生业报难思议。这个样子看来呀，这个众生的因果业报啊，这是不可思议的一种境界。
诸龙变化佛自在，菩萨神力疑难思，欲以譬喻而显示，终无有余能于此。然诸智慧聪达人，因于屁股解其意，声闻心住八解脱，所有变现皆自在，能以一身现多身，不以多身为一身，于虚空中入火定，行住坐卧系在空，身上出水身下火，身上出火身下水，入世皆于一念中，种种自在无边量，彼不具足大慈悲，不为众生求佛道，尚能现此难思事，况大饶益自在利益。诸龙变化佛自在，菩萨神力已难思。诸龙，这个龙啊是一种神物，能大能小，能隐能显，能现大身遍满虚空，能现小身入一粒微尘，能隐，忽然间呢它就隐没了，没有了，能现能显，忽然间又显一现出来了。这个龙啊，因为它在因地修行的时候是乘机借还，乘机
他愿意修大乘法，求神通戒缓，他不注重戒力啊，不持戒，所以呀、啊，啊，因为他修大乘，希望有神通，所以就啊，这个他有神通，因为他称其戒缓，不修戒律，所以呀、啊，堕落到畜生，作为龙神。那么。他做龙能有变化无穷的自在，也能有啊佛的自在神力，嗯，也有神通啊，随心入意啊，他很变化无穷的菩萨神力已难死。那么这个龙啊会变化菩萨有一种神通的力量，也是不可思议的。欲以譬喻而显示，这两种啊，你要想用譬喻来呀、啊，把它说明白了它。中午有余能于此，可是啊，没有啊哪一个譬喻来呀、啊，譬喻这种的这个。变化呀，神力不可思议，这种境界譬喻不出来。然诸智慧聪达人，可是啊，一般有智慧聪明啊通达的人，应与屁股解其意，因为啊这个譬喻来呀、啊、明白这个道理，明白其中的义理。声闻心住八解脱，这个声闻人呢就是二乘人啊，他呀、啊、执照这个八解脱，所有变现皆自在，他的变现呢也很自在的，能以一身现多身，这个声闻呢他能以一身现出多身啊，夫以多身现为一身，又可以啊以很多身呢啊成为一个身，于虚空中入火定，他能啊在虚空里头入火大这个定啊，行住坐卧气在空，他走路也在空中，站着也在空中啊，坐着也在虚空里坐，卧也在虚空里卧，他都在虚空里头，能啊现十八变啊，身上啊出水，身下就出火啊，能身上出火，身下又出水，能现这种的神通，入世结于一念中，像这种的神变呢，不可思议的境界都在一念中而显现，种种自在无边量，在一念里啊就现出种种自在啊，无量无边那么、那么多啊，彼不具足大悲心，这个声闻人呢、啊、他本来呀、啊、不具足大悲心，不圆满，他不具足不完全呢具足大悲心，不为众生求佛道，他呀只知道啊自了汉啊，只知道为自己，他不肯为众生啊来求佛道啊，尚能现此难思事啊，他们大悲心不圆满，他也不为众生啊来去求佛道啊修成佛啊，他还能现出这种的不可思议的这个境界，况大饶益自在力，况且啊你发大菩提心来饶益一切众生，有大自在神通的力量呢，那更是啊不可思议了。变化也有佛的自在神力。
This is a story about Xu Yun, one of Trevor's teachers. It was when he was bowing on his 3,000-mile pilgrimage across China. And while he was bowing from Puto to Manjushri's mountain on the other side of China. And when he was bowing, he was always bowing towards Manjushri's mountain, and he would bow and he would bow and he would bow. And one day he got to a place where it was snowing, and he got to a yellow river. It was called the Yellow River, and it was snowing there. It was really snowing. So he went into this little caterer's house. It wasn't really a house, it was where he sold the things, and it was half open and half closed so you could get all the cold. He didn't have very many clothes to keep him warm and didn't have any food. And all of a sudden this beggar came along, and he put some snow in a pot and built a little fire under it. And he asked Xu Yun, do you have that in your country? First the beggar asked him, where are you from? And he said, I'm from the China that's in the ocean. Because he was from near the coast in China. And the southern China. And the beggar asked him, do you have that? And when he pointed to it, it was still snow. And in your country, do you have that stuff in your country? And Xu Yun said, no. And then when the beggar pointed at it again, Xu Yun says, then the beggar said, what do you drink then if you don't have this? And Xu Yun said, water. And the beggar pointed to the pot again and said, if you don't have this, then what can you drink? And by that time, it had melted into water. And Xu Yun didn't have anything to say because it was water, and when he saw it, it was snow. But they didn't have snow, but it turned into water. And the beggar made him some rice gruel, and he ate that. And then the beggar said, well, I'll go with you to Manjushri's mountain. After Xu Yun had told him what he was doing. And the beggar said, well, I'll go with you and I'll carry your pack. So the beggar...
No, you're not talking this name. When you come talking, it's Xu Yun. No, not talking this name. No, say this Xu Yun. When you come saying Xu Yun.
Sorry, I got the name wrong. Xu La. And Xu La asked the beggar what his name was, and the beggar said, One. And then Xu La asked him, well, what's your last name? And he said, One G. And so Xu La knew his name, and they went along together, and they crossed the Yellow River. And when they got almost to the mountain, after a lot of trouble with temples, because they said to Xu La, well, you're making the beggar carry your pack, and all he is a beggar. And after a whole lot of that, they were just ready to get to Manjushri Mountain, and the beggar said, now you can carry your packs and I have to go. And before that, Xu Lao had asked the beggar whether he knew anybody at Manjushri Mountain or not. And the beggar said, I know all the monks at Manjushri Mountain. And then when Shula got there, he told all the monks about the beggar. And the monks said, "We don't have a beggar named Wanji." But then they thought for a second, and Wanji was in Manjushri's name in Chinese. I can't remember what it is, but it's in there. And so Xu Lao went and looked for the beggar, but the beggar wasn't there. And he wanted to thank the beggar, but it wasn't the beggar, it was Manjushri. Because he had bowed so sincerely towards the mountain that Manjushri came as a transformation of a beggar and carried his bags for him. And that's all.
譬如日月由虚空影响普遍于十方全池披载气中水众宝河海没不闲。这个行菩萨道的这个菩萨，他时时刻刻都发大菩提心，利益一切众生，令一切众生呢也发菩提心，也发大菩提心。这就好像什么呢？就譬如啊，日月啊，在这个虚空里一样，日月由于虚空，它就在虚空里呀，啊。这个日月在虚空里头，可是啊，它这个影子和呀日月这个相普遍于十方，在十方世界都啊见着日月这个影子和日月这个形象，全池披照披在气中水。泉就是水泉，池就是造的水池，皮宅这都是有水的地方，气中水或者呀在这个什么器皿里头的水，众宝河海没不限，或者呀在什么众宝的里边也会现出这个日月的这个影像，或者河里头海里头没有啊一个地方不现这个日月的影像。那么这种啊境界也是不可思议的。菩萨色相已复然，十方普现不思议，此皆三昧自在法，唯有如来能证了。菩萨色相已复然，这个行菩萨道的菩萨，他的色相啊也和这个日月的影像是一样的，所以说菩萨色相已复然啊，也是这样子，就像前边那个日月
有水呀、啊、就现出来。千天千潭有水，千潭月，万里乌云万里天。这个菩萨的色相也像这个呢日月，那么普遍呢照到众生的心里边去。十方普现不思议，在这个十方世界的普现出来啊，这个不可思议这种境界，此界三昧自在法，这个就是啊，这个菩萨所得到的这个自在三昧这种的法门，也就是这样。唯有如来能证了，一切的诸天世界的凡夫人等，没有人呢能明白这种境界。只有啊佛才能啊正知啊了解这种的境界。破镜水中似冰相，个个别意无交杂。见及忽视泪甚多，凯咒彻于非一种。我随讲讲这四句。
有很多可以害人的东西。gun, job, chair, you, say, eat job. 有其他的物质，有这个车，有这个 gun 可以保护人，还有就人戴这个在头上保护自己的头，还有车有是走路的时候用这个，还有可以用这个这种车做杖。这一种有很多很多，没有一种这个物质可以都杖的时候可以用这个。It is as in
各位听他讲的怎么样啊？你觉得怎么样？没有矛盾啊。